Otherworldlyculture.com.
We're here.
Alive. It's alive. It's alive.
Otherworldlyculture.com presents Dead On Movie Reviews.
Salutations and mutilations. You're listening to The Worldly Culture Presents Dead On Movie Reviews. Tonight, we will present horror movie reviews and lively debate here on OtherworldlyCulture.com and on future select Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern. You can join our... Did you get that, Tracy? 8 p.m. Eastern. Yeah. You can join our live chat at the time by clicking on the live show's link on the OtherworldlyCulture.com website. I'm your host, Tim Kretschmann, coming to you from the land of lakes and landfills, beautiful and smelly Muskego, Wisconsin. It's my honor now to introduce to you the Faculty of Fear panel presenting tonight's lectures. Hello there, gang. How are you all doing?
Hey, hey.
Okay, and we're going to start with Tracy has been in over 11 films, a good friend of the show with numerous appearances here, and it's a thrill to have her on the show again with us tonight. She is the denizen diva of the disturbing who frequently partakes in films quite unnerving. She always gives the straight dope and goes into every film with a glimmer of hope. She is afraid to go ankle deep into a flick and call out douche tarts for being a prick. Now it's my pleasure to set out eyes all upon our panelists tonight, Tracy DeLeon. Hey, Tracy.
I'm calling them out. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we go now to Adam Holzapfel. He's our hardcore otherworldly culture columnist, and he won't brag, but he is in fact the taco king. Adam will slice and dice twice as film feast and menu for madness. For us on tonight's celluloid entry into cellulite, it's Adam Holzapfel.
Hey, Tom, how's it going?
Real good. And now the gentleman that keeps wanting me to have longer and longer introductions for him, but we're just not going to do that for him. Hailing from the Motor City, Detroit, Michael Cieslik is a lifetime reader and writer of horror, mystery, and speculative fiction. He has served as an officer in the Great Lakes Association of Horror Writers, which I hear includes some administrative and some punishment type activities that he does. He's the editor of Eerie Tales Anthologies. He's the editor-in-chief of Dragon's Roost Press. And he is a kilt enthusiast. He is Michael Cieslik.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for coming out. We're going to have a fun time. We have great movies in line for all of you tonight. So keep your ass in your seat, sharpen your pencil, and let's get unruly with the Faculty of Fear. And we're going to kick things off with our good friend Adam. Adam, how are you doing over there? Why did that happen? There we go. There's Adam. Adam, what have you been up to?
I've been up to not much, just work and watching movies. So same old, same old.
Well, that works for this show. So what's the movie you watch for tonight?
I watched the Shudder original Superhost from 2021. It clocks in at around an hour and 24 minutes. Written and directed by Brandon Christensen, I believe. It's a well-done film. It follows these two vloggers who basically rate Airbnbs.
Okay.
So it kind of plays on the, you know, it's weird we're staying in someone else's home. That their reviews are dwindling, so of course they're looking for controversy and handing out bad ratings. The cast only consists of four people: Sarah Canning, Osric Chow, Gracie Gillum, and Barbara Crampton makes an appearance.
Oh, okay.
So, I think it's a little long in the tooth for what the film was. It wasn't bad. There wasn't a ton of gore. It played more like a thriller with a kind of a twist that you can pick up on within the first few minutes. Gracie Gillum's the standout in this as Rebecca, the kind of crazed Airbnb owner. But the film focuses more on Sarah Canning and Osric Chow's characters and their dynamic, like how on camera and in their videos they're this happy, lovey-dovey couple, and then off camera, you know, they're kind of wanting to tear each other apart. So, not a bad flick, but I don't know if I'd rush to watch it again.
Okay. Now, Adam, one of the things I've asked in the past, is a Shudder original, is that like a warning label at this point, or is that generally a pretty decent movie, or is there a feel for a Shudder original? You've watched a lot of them. I feel like you're the right person to ask.
I think most of the time it's a pretty decent movie. Like, I didn't hate this one, but felt to me like if they were cut 20 minutes and maybe made it an episode of their Creepshow series, it may have worked a little better.
Okay.
So, yeah, their originals are usually pretty spot on, but you do have the occasional one that just misses the mark. So,
is there one Shudder original that you're like, everybody should make sure they watch this?
Anything for Jackson.
Anything for Jackson. I've heard you mention it. I think you you reviewed that one on the show.
Yeah, I'd say that, Scare Package, Scare Me. There's been a few over the past couple years that have really stood out to me.
I think Scare Package was even on one of the Billy Bobs, if I remember correctly. I'm probably wrong, but
no, he did last drive-in of Scare Package because he has a cameo in it. So that was on one of the Joe Bob episodes.
So if you want Joe Bob to show your movie, it's a good idea to get him in your movie. Is that right? Or am I wrong?
I think that's right.
Now, Shudder is available directly, but you can also get it through Amazon. It's available. Do you watch it on the phone or do you watch it on the TV?
I watch it through my Roku.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's also available as part of AMC Plus because it's kind of a child company to them, but I have the standalone version, so.
Okay. Does Roku have a separate app just for Shudder?
Yeah, they do.
And why is Shudder not sponsoring us by now?
Hey.
Yes, Tracy.
You can Shudder through Amazon?
You can.
Oh, my God.
But you still got to pay for it. You do have to pay for it. We also have in chat, Peggy is saying anything for Jackson as well.
Oh, so, hey, Peggy.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right. Adam, are you ready to grade, or did you have more before I started going off on a tangent like I always do?
No, I'm ready to grade.
You're ready to grade. Okay. Well, yeah. I'm not ready. Hold on.
Stretch.
Let's get out the grade book, everybody. There. Come on, machine. There we go. All right. What are you going to grade this bad boy?
I'm going to give it a B minus.
B minus.
Just personal preference. I wish there's more gore in it. And like I said, I think if they would have cut 20 minutes off and made it a creep show episode, it would have worked better for me.
Fantastic. Well, that means if you have Shudder, it certainly wouldn't be a waste of your time to see it. So that's always good to see. And just so you know, Tracy, Peggy says hi, because I know you're not watching the chat tonight. So if I don't pass that along, she'll yell at me.
Oh, I love her so much.
That's good, because now it's your turn, Tracy. Tracy! What have you been watching?
I have been watching Jason Zeta's The Forest.
Why did that happen? Hold on. Oh, the damn machine is attacking me.
Oh, no.
Come on, machine. Wait. There we go. There's Tracy.
Yeah. Oh, there I am. Okay.
There you are.
So I've been watching Jason Zeta's The Forest, and it stars Natalie Dormer and Taylor Kinney. And it's written by, I might say the guy's last name right or wrong. Not right, wrong.
Okay.
Nick Anacuska. I can't say it right. Anyway, so it's basically about twin sisters. One is living in abroad away from where her other twin is, and her twin is actually in Japan. And she ends up going missing. And the last people to see her tell the twin sister, Natalie Dormer, that they saw her going into the Sea of Trees, the suicide forest in Japan, where people normally go in and never come out, typically because they always just want to commit suicide. And she's like, she's my twin sister. I would know if she commits suicide. I have this bond with her. So basically, it's just, she finds herself flying to Japan and trying to find out what happened to her sister, but no one is able to reach, like, her other sister. And her other sister is a little tormented because of childhood trauma that she saw when she was younger, which later in the film you find out wasn't a tragic car accident. Her sister actually witnessed her father committing murder and then suicide, killing her mother and himself.
Yeah.
So, she gets to Japan, she finds a guide, and she finds someone else who's a journalist who's interested in her story. And they bond a little bit in the beginning. And as all three of them go into the forest, they find her sister's tent. And she's like, I'm not leaving. But one of the guides is like, look, it is not safe here at night. You start to see delusions. You start seeing things that aren't really there. So after she teams up with Taylor Kinney, and I think the guy's name is Michi, or I don't know, he's a Japanese tour guide in the Sea of Trees.
Okay.
Anyway, all in all, they end up there. They end up getting separated because the guide left, and because Natalie Dormer's character did not want to leave the tent, the one guy who's a journalist stayed behind with her, and eventually they just rustled and tussled because she started getting delusional. She also injures herself from following these delusions. So he does eventually find her because she falls through a hole in the forest. And after he finds her, they find this like shack thing, and he has a knife. And because she has issues with trusting him for whatever reason, she gets the knife from him, and then they tussle for the knife. He ends up dead. She runs out because she starts following these delusions, and she starts seeing her sister running, and she's following her sister. And at this time, the husband, because she was married, the husband comes to Japan. This is such a confusing story.
Oh, I know.
The husband comes to Japan, and he finds the tour guide. The tour guide finds him. The the tour guide calls in local police. They start searching for him, and it starts to get night, and they start heading back. And the sister, Jess, who is the twin, and I forget her character name, Natalie Dormer's character, right, as she's running towards the lights. And as Natalie Dormer is chasing Jess, something just jumps in front of her and just like takes her down. But Jess finds the husband, the guide, and the police. And she's finally rescued. She's like completely torn down. What a hell it was with her delusional shit. Whatever she saw, you never saw what she saw. But anyway, as they're walking out of the forest, she turns around, and as she turns around, the sister comes out as like some sort of, I don't know, zombie thing. I don't know. So basically, at the end, the sister that went to find her and wouldn't leave the forest ends up dead. But the other sister ends up fine. It's crazy psychological thing.
Okay. Anyway. Yeah, this movie was released in the theaters in 2016. And I know that because that was the year of MoviePass. And I saw everything that was in the theaters that year. And I saw this thing, and I remember being baffled by it.
It's just, I mean, I get the story. She doesn't want to leave the forest. She has to go into this forest because that's where her sister was last seen, and she doesn't want to leave until she comes out. But really, you go in with just a little purse, a backpack. You've got nothing.
She came from a foreign country. This
6,000 miles, Tim.
Yeah, for this trip up a mountain, basically. And she's so ill-prepared. I'm like, before you buy the tickets, get yourself some decent shoes.
Girl, get some hiking boots and a jacket.
I remember watching this thing and going, what? And here's the thing. We all know where this story is going from. This is the suicide forest, and okay, it's going to be haunted and all that. There really aren't a whole lot of surprises with this thing, in my opinion, you just don't get what's going on.
There was only one surprise, and that wasn't really a surprise, but it was just creepy, you know? Mm-hmm. Kind of made your hand up on the back of your neck. And that was the only time I was ever, but other than that, I'm like, I get what's going on, but what is going on?
Now, what did you think of the acting performances? You're okay, a resident actress, so we need to ask you that.
I like Natalie Dormer. I've liked her ever since her career started. I remember her in The Tudor. She was a phenomenal actress. She did really well in this film, too. Mm-hmm. However, Taylor Kinney was boring to me.
Yeah.
I mean, the Chinese guy would have done a better job than... Or Japanese guy, I'm so sorry. I don't know his name. He would have done a better job journalist and then Taylor Kinney just being the tour guide, I think. But
I think that's a case where two characters could have been combined because neither one has a whole lot to do. But I think they needed higher stakes or something. But here again, lots of prep.
Yep.
But not good prep, right?
Nope, not at all. Not at all.
Such a frustrating movie. And I'm not usually, here's the thing, I'm not usually the guy that complains about if a movie makes sense or not, because I'm usually like, hey, I'm here to be entertained, entertain my ass. I don't care if it makes sense. But this one, I think it took itself too seriously.
Started cleaning my counters as it was playing. Yeah. That's why I know where this is going. I'm going to do what I got to do.
Yeah, that's a bad sign. That's a bad sign when household chores start getting done. That's actually what happened to me at the end of Westwide, Side Story, Spielberg's latest version. Once the rumble was done, I was kind of checked out. I've always hated that about that particular movie. Or that play, I guess. But I was like, man, he couldn't fix that. Come on.
Oh my God. Did you hear they're remaking The Crow? Guess who is the lead?
Boo.
I did hear they were remaking. Who?
The It guy, Skarsgård.
The one thing that was the least scary in It. Like,
why? Why, man? Anyway.
You know, it's interesting because I think that was announced prior to Horror Realm, and I don't remember Bai Ling bringing that up out at Horror Realm.
Look it up, Tim. I would rather Momoa. I'm sorry.
I don't know that.
Don't remake it.
Well, here's the thing. Do the same thing that they did with Punisher. I don't need to remake the first one. Make a new one. There's a lot of Crow stories, right?
I don't know. The other Crow movies were pretty darn bad.
They did not. I would not. I mean, after he died in that film, that was just, it's like, I don't know. I felt it was such a dishonor to make such a shit movie when you could have just waited for like an anniversary and found the right actor. I don't know, something. But it was just, I was like, oh, this is shit. I'm turning it off. Anyway. Totally off the forest.
Yeah, let's get out the grade book on that one. And I'm sure that's going to screw up our video feed yet again. But we've been having that on and off all night. I do apologize for that. We got a lot of people working on it. So give me that report card.
Because Natalie Dormer did a good job, I'm going to give it a B.
You are such an easy grader. Such an easy grader. I remember seeing this film, walking out the door, and starting to forget it as I was walking out.
Again, I cleaned my countertops, but I still gave it a... Because Natalie Dormer kicked its ass, so...
Yeah. All right. Anyway, thank you very much. We're going to quick check the chat room because... We always check the chat room here in between. And as usual, our panelists are using it for personal use, as always. remember, you can always join our chat room when you come out and join us live on select Tuesday nights. And now it's time to go to Mike Cieslik. I am very curious about this movie. This one is... Well, you're going to introduce it. What am I almost doing? And look at what it did to me again. That's awesome. Why is it doing this to me tonight? I didn't do this to anger it, but I think we're pushing everything a little hard. Now we got it. Wrong mic. What is going on? Let's go with this one. Now we got you.
There he is.
Finally.
Their image was
unbelievable. Okay. So, Mike Cieslik, what have you been watching?
So, once again, Tracy and I have movies which have things in common. Mine also features sisters, and it also has some hard-to-pronounce names, except I think I'm going to take the award for this one because I watched the Polish film The Lure, or Korki Dansinju, which is Daughters of Dancing.
Very nice job, sir.
Wow.
Yeah, my apologies ahead of time to all my relatives, because I am part Polish, and I am probably going to butcher the heck out of some names here.
Oh, boy.
I want to thank my folks who gave me the subscription to the Criterion Collection, which is where I was able to watch this film. I had this in my queue on... something else. I don't remember what other streaming service, and it disappeared a couple years ago, and then it appeared on here, and I'm like, hey, that was something I wanted to watch.
Wow. Okay. That's my main bitch with all of the streaming services. It's like, here today, gone tomorrow.
Exactly.
All right. So you watched The Lure, you saw the Criterion version, so I can already guess that the picture quality was fantastic. How about the actual movie?
This is a Polish film. It has English subtitles. It takes place in the 80s, and it is a musical.
Hold on. It's a musical?
All that out of the way at the beginning.
Whoa. I did not know that. Okay. Keep going.
And as you can see from the pictures on the screen, this is not a Disney musical.
No.
Daughters of Dancing, I'm guessing, came from the Daughters of the Air, which was the original title of The Little Mermaid by Hans Christian Andersen, which this is kind of a retelling of. We start with some of the best creepy animation I have seen for opening credits in a long time by Aleksandra Waleska. The trick is to just pronounce it like you know what you're doing and just go right into it like that.
And then you ruin it by saying that. I totally bought you knew exactly how to pronounce it. I was in completely.
We then get what we find out later is a mermaid's eye view of the camera pushing through the water and then just kind of surfacing. And you see three people that are on the beach. They're drunk. They're singing. You're thinking, oh, these three, victims one, two, and three, but that's not the case.
The two mermaids
pop up. Silver and Golden are their names.
Okay.
And they start singing, "Help us come ashore. We won't eat you." This is not a good sign. At this point, I personally would have left the beach and gone back to wherever it was I was from. But no, these two guys are like, hey, look, naked chicks. And they take them out. And these are, like I said, this is not a Disney movie. These are not your Disney mermaids. You can see in one of the pictures that's coming up here, I believe, they do not have your typical... like fish kind of fins, like dolphin-y fins. They look from the waist down like a giant moray eel with these weird spines.
Yeah.
You can see it curving out of the bathtub there. Those things were 6 feet long. And then you just have the upper torso of the girl. So it is this really creepy thing where they are like two-thirds moray eel, spiny,
two-thirds slimy. Phallic symbol.
It is viscerally oppressive. I mean, the first time it came on, I actually went, ugh.
Hold on, do that one more time. I want to get you onto full screen when you do that one. Hold on, here we go. Let's see that again. When you saw it at first. We need to save that. We need to save that somewhere right away.
That's going into the intro, right?
It might. You don't know. I have a whole off season to get into mischief.
So, going with your phallic symbol thing, the three people that were on the beach are members of a band called the Figs and Dates. They're regular performers at this weird dance club's strip club hybrid thing.
So that's giving us the musical angle, ain't it?
That's giving us part of the musical angle. The mermaids also have this kind of siren song ability. So when the club owner hears them singing, he's like, hey, we're going to do something with these guys. But then you get one of the more disturbing things where Percussita, who is the drummer in the band, introduces the two girls who kind of look like adolescent, maybe late teens.
Yeah.
They're sitting there naked, and they are, as he says, smooth like Barbies. Until he pours water on them, and their big, disgusting eel tails come out again, which have lady bits, to put it politely.
Okay.
So the club owner decides these guys are going to be your backup singers. And they're going to strip, and then they're going to jump in a big thing of water and show their tails. And it's an amazing act. And, of course, they sing way better than the Figs and Dates. So we very quickly have this transition where they move from the background to the foreground, and the band who had kind of rescued them and put them out there is now basically their backup players, and they are performing as The Lure. Okay. Silver is warned not to fall in love with the bass player, which you can see she is doing.
You never want to go for the bass player. Come on.
Says, you know, if you fall in love with him and he marries someone else, you're going to turn into seafoam, which is how the original Little Mermaid ends before it was, you know, Disney-fied. We're getting sued by Disney. I apologize, Tim.
Okay. Hey, it's nothing that hasn't happened before.
They do start kind of having a relationship. Meanwhile, Golden, the other sister, has realized she can use her physical attractiveness and her siren song ability to make people from the club come out with her, where she then rips their throats out, tears out their hearts, and eats them. Because when you see them in their full mermaid form, you can see these are predators. They have big, sharp teeth. They've got these long, muscular tails. Despite the fact that Silver is falling in love. The guy she's falling in love with, the bass player, says, really, I like you, but I could never see you as anything more than a fish. You're just an animal to me.
At which point, really? That's sweet.
What a dick. At which point, we decide that's just the beginning of his dickishness. Hold on to your seats, people, because she then goes through and gets an operation where she has her tail cut off and replaced with the legs of another person who wanted her tail so she can be with him. And we go through this whole arduous process of her learning to walk again, just kind of analogous to the Little Mermaid who, whenever she danced, it felt like daggers were being jammed into her feet.
Right.
They get together. And it's too early, and her surgical scars bleed on him, and he says, ew, and takes off. A-hole. Such a douche. Meanwhile, her sister, Golden, has found this guy who's hanging out in the shadows with his huge scarred forehead, who we find out is actually Triton, who'd had his horns ripped off. He's the lead singer of a punk band. He invites her to join the punk band, and after her first onstage performance says, you know, it could use some work. And she realizes, without my sister, we really don't have that singing connection. Unfortunately, it's true. When the tail cuts off and she becomes a human, she does lose her voice.
Okay.
Bass player falls in love with someone else, and the last scene is they're married on the boat. All of the cast is there. Golden is trying to tell Silver, you still have a chance. Kill him. Triton is saying, kill him. If you kill him before dawn, you can return to your mermaid form. If you don't, you're going to turn into seafoam, and I'm not telling you how it ends.
Seafoam. That is a strange thing for them to change into. Why wouldn't they just change into a fish? They turn into seafoam.
In the Hans Christian Andersen story, she turns into sea foam, but then there's an ending where because she did not kill him, she gets turned into like a spirit of the air, which is where the Daughters of the Air title originally came from.
Okay.
I know way too much about fairy tales and stuff.
This is becoming evident.
The director, whose name I'm not going to attempt to do.
Okay.
Apparently drew Mr. from her Guy. Old life, as her mother was a nightclub singer. And there was a quote that I had seen on Wikipedia somewhere, and I don't have it anymore, but it was like the nightclub was where she had her first drink, her first smoke, her first sexual disappointment. So I'm like, okay. So she kind of filtered all this into the story. The choreographer, who I could not find a listing for anywhere, and unfortunately I don't read Polish, so I couldn't like find him in the credits or her in the credits. Amazing job with the dancing. The sisters always look kind of sinuous, almost otherworldly when they're dancing, and a lot of the time when they're moving, they move almost like as if they were like swimming in the ocean, where the people seem very much landlocked and blockier.
Okay, yeah. Now, you obviously follow the fairy tales, etc. side of this story. And I know a lot of fairy tales are really super creepy.
Yeah.
So is this a closer adaption than the Disney type of adaption in tone? Or is this truly, we're going to take this fairy tale and make it extremely horror feel?
It's dark, but I wouldn't say it's extremely horror feeling. I mean, we do have Golden's Kills, and the surgery is, I think in my notes I wrote just like, holy F, this is messed up.
Boy.
Because she's awake for the whole thing and singing while they're... they don't even do like a regular incision. The guy just goes straight at the line where her abdomen meets her tail with a bone saw, and just blood's flying everywhere while she's singing.
Nice.
And then she just kind of loses her voice as the cut is complete. Really well done scene. There are some really amazingly filmed scenes in here.
Wow.
Just screenshots that's up there, the lighting and... Hmm. I mean, it's great pictures that he's
had. It shouldn't work as well as it does. I mean, there are some scenes where like they go shopping for the first time, and it is a full on like musical number where they're singing and dancing through this department store, and I'm thinking, this is the weirdest freaking thing ever, and yet it's still creepy. I think the scene where they're on the escalator. Coming up in like one or two shots here, and you're like, okay, that's still kind of threatening looking.
Okay. But
there's the surgery right there. Ooh.
Yeah, it's just it's like a pretty looking movie, but it sounds like a gritty storytelling element.
It is very beautiful and fantastical and dark at the same time.
That's
There's the escalator part that I was telling about.
Tracy, I think you got cut out. Could you ask it again?
Oh, sorry, there's storms here.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
I did.
Do you recommend? Because I'm interested.
Oh, we got to get the
I'm
grades.
I'm ready for that grade thing now.
Yeah. You know, you guys need to give me a hand signal. No, I don't want a hand signal. I know what the hand signal would be.
Right.
Yeah, I'm glad I shut off the camera in time. What are you going to grade it?
This is definitely a solid B, almost a B+. I mean, this is one that I might watch again in a little while just to see if there were some more nuances that I missed.
Dude, just your description, I'm like, this seems like a pretty damn cool movie. I want to watch.
Well, keep in mind, we're talking to an author, so he's got a superpower when he talks. So you can't. Sometimes he's just trying to show off. So let's keep that in mind.
Like I have a siren song.
Oh, give me a friggin' break! I'm not feeling well now. All
and
right.
That was the last time Michael appeared on the show.
No, that's a really interesting thing. I'm going to ask, I'm the dirty American all the time. Mm-hmm. How is the subtitles? Is this one of these movies where they talk a mile a minute and you can't keep up with the subs?
Actually, that was one of the things that I liked about the subtitles is I don't know if they were... abbreviating what they were saying because it's a music, because it has that musical element, there's not a whole lot of back and forth dialogue.
Okay.
And what there is fairly short snippets. So there wasn't like a lot of time when like you had just had a little bit of words on the screen and the models was still going. But it was actually really easy to follow it. Previous ones I've done for the show that have had subtitles where I've had to pause it and then take my notes and then unpause it again. And it was really like a choppy experience. This one, I could actually take my notes and still follow along with what people were saying or in other instances singing on the screen.
Yeah. And I think that's absolutely crucial when you're talking a musical. I know I've turned on the subs during American musicals, just so that I can follow the what the lyrics are about. I'm not going to name Hamilton by name, but you know, there's that thing. I'm like, what did I just listen to? And you know, I got to open up the history book, you know. But all right. So that's The Lure, and it's available on Criterion Collection. So people should check it out. I did find it out on Prime. You got to pay for it.
I was going to say, I think it's available for rent.
Yeah, you got to pay for it. But it is on Prime.
I think it's also on HBO Max, too, because they have the Criterion stuff.
Yeah, and that's Adam always knows where to find this stuff. He is our streaming spelunker. That might get added to your intro, Adam. He always seems to know. You know, there used to be a website where they would tell you where stuff was streaming. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen that lately. I was like, where can I stream this or something like that? And I haven't seen it lately. I don't know if there's some sort of rule that you can't put that out anymore. But this one, I believe, is streaming some places. I did find it on Amazon Prime myself. But I believe there's other places as well. It isn't a freebie on Prime, as I recall. But I watched Burial Ground, The Knights of Terror. Now, I didn't just find this movie. I was recommended this movie, was I not?
Adam, everyone at Horror Realm was recommended this movie?
Yeah, by this bearded gentleman that was walking around and wearing a t-shirt, weren't you, from this movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and T-Shirt Joe had a pen of it, so there were a couple of us walking around.
Okay, so first question. Adam, I know, has seen this. I have now seen this. Mike and Tracy, have you seen this?
I have not.
Oh, boy. I'm now going to attempt to describe what I watched. Okay, first of all, this is not a movie where you go, hey, this is going to have an intricate plot. I might need to take notes. Not that movie. This is not a plot movie. So if you're like, you know, I really want an intricate plot with deep characters, it's going to be this or Game of Thrones. Go with the Game of Thrones if you're looking for the deep characters. This is not the movie. The movie, before the credits even begin, it shows a professor. He's screwing around with the dark arts, as, you know, professors are always doing. And next thing you know, the zombies are up and moving around. And guess what they're up to? That's right. They're chewing on the professor moments later. Okay. So then you get to the credits, which are those irritating credits where it's watching a car driving out in the landscape, and you're like, oh, there's going to be a cabin in the woods. But no, it's a castle in the woods, kids, because this is an Italian movie. So they drive up to a castle. What? I'm sorry?
Castle in the woods. Whoa. Uh-oh.
So they drive up to the castle, and it's got a gate. And the gate, the servants there don't open it up real quick. And they immediately establish, well, we can't just call them because there are no phones in the mansion. Now, keep in mind, this is an 80s movie, so not everybody's got a cell phone. So they have already established that they're not going to need to spend 3 seconds showing the sequence where the phone line gets cut. They're like, nope, don't need that shot. We just set it right at the beginning of the movie. So you're already at the beginning of the movie. You're like, oh, shit's going down. So they drive in. Now, the interesting thing is they drive in with, I think it's two or three cars. Adam will correct me on all my factual errors as I go. They drive in, but they never really make a play for the cars when the shit goes down. And usually you have all the main characters running for the cars and somehow they're blocked or they're set on fire or something like that. No, they never even think about it. And the problem with the gate opening slow, yeah, they don't really pay that off either. And that's the type of movie we're talking about. This isn't a movie that, like, every little thing has to pay off. There isn't some big mystery they need to solve. No. This is the equivalent of a survivor video game. It's like they just need to live. That's all they need to do. Now, what do you do after a long drive out into the wilderness? You get to the castle and you're like, oh, I want to relax. That's right. You start fucking each other as much as possible. And they are not as tired from the long drive as they state. Because the parents of this very weird child, Michael, they start getting it on. The photographer that brings out his model girlfriend, they start to get it on. It's all this like Skinamax softcore porn type stuff that's going on.
It takes two to make it go right.
Now, the pictures that you see, if you're watching the video version of the thing, you are seeing this very odd-looking boy. There he is. That's Michael. And
that's what I look like, all right.
He, well, that's in the movie. He's called Michael. What is his name? Bart? Something Bark?
Peter Bark.
Yeah, Peter Bark. And I think this is, like, the only movie of any reputation that he's made, but he's got a very unique look. He's playing a child, but he's obviously somebody that just has some sort of bone deficiency or something. So it's really odd throughout the movie. Now, the best line in the movie is when his two parents are getting it on and his mom is kind of modeling some lingerie for the husband, the father. And he says the classic line, you might want to write this down. It'll be great on a t-shirt. You look like a little whore, but I like that in a girl. That's just a great line. So this is what? The quality.
That's
yes.
Not a great line. That's
a great line. You look just like a little whore, but I like that in a girl. What a wonderful thing to say to the mother of your child. Just wonderful. Now, if you're offended by that line, you may not want to listen to the rest of this, because that's at the beginning of the film. let's see. There's another line, too, during one of the sex sequences where a guy says, you're getting a raise out of me, all right, but it has nothing to do with money. Yeah, which when I hear one like that, that's wordplay, I'm like, this movie was made in Italian. Does raise mean the same thing in Italian? You know, I always wonder, okay, is that the American writer just throwing something in, or is that a literal translation? Now, this weird-ass Michael guy, he has this creepy look, and every chance he gets, if you look at the poster, you see him, he's hanging on to his mother, yes, mother, and he is snuggled up to her breasts. I mean, every single opportunity, he is in there getting himself a snuggle. This is the thing that actually pays off in the movie. Now, at this point, I have to ask Adam, am I allowed to spoil this little sequence?
I'd say, because the movie's 40 years old.
I think some people will die.
It's past the statute of limitations.
Okay, all right. Well, I don't want people storming the castle here and coming after me. So Michael just keeps getting up in there in the breasts, right? At one point, and I have this photo up here too, they sit down on the sofa and are kind of resting between zombie waves. As you know, zombies always come in waves that you kill them off and then you have a little relaxed scene. Well, they're having a little relaxed scene and Michael decides to start necking with his mother. There you see it. They're kind of going at it. And then the mom says, oh, hey, this is wrong, and kind of pushes Michael away. And then he comes out with the classic line, what's wrong? I'm your son. There was very obviously something wrong. So he decides to run away inside the giant castle filled with killer zombies. He decides to just run away. Well, as you might guess, he gets turned into a zombie himself. And then he catches up with mom again. But remember Michael's go-to move is to go for the snuggle. So he's acting, you know, and again, in every zombie movie you've ever had, there's that moment where somebody is just, oh, that's somebody I used to love. It isn't a zombie. I'll protect them. You know, it's one of those moments. So, of course, Michael goes in for the snuggle. And he literally bites her boob right off. Boom.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. This is probably the best the best sequence in the movie. There are other sequences. I got one of them in our montage up there of the scythe death. What's interesting to me in this movie is these Italian zombies actually use implements. They're using tools. They're using a battering ram at one point. They're attacking with tools. So they seem a little more intelligent than maybe like the Romero ones. They're also extremely gross. They like this picture here, there were moving maggots on there. There's the scythe. You know what's coming next. But here's the thing that's hilarious. They have to be the slowest moving zombies I have ever seen. You know how most zombies, you could probably, and I'm not talking to fast zombies, the shambling zombies, I'll say, you can outrun them. These zombies, you can outwalk them. They are moving so slowly. It's hysterical. This movie also has, being of the Italian zombie ilk, you get a lot of scenes of the intestine chowing. Lots of scenes of them just eating on the old intestines. So there's a lot of that. There's a lot of effects work going on here. Now, again, no character development. But I'll be damned if this movie isn't well-paced. There is stuff always going on. There's a new attack every time you turn around. They aren't wasting time with things like character development. They're like, why should we develop the character when we could be killing the character? Let's go. So it really is good from that standpoint. This is exactly the movie when you got a bunch of horror fan friends over. This is the one to put in to the machine because you can talk all the way through it. It's not like, oh, wait, there's an important plot point. Nope. Nope, there isn't. There is no important plot points throughout the whole movie. And here's my thing. Unlike Tracy, who started doing, chores while watching it. You would think, well, I never really bought in on the characters. I was probably sitting there messing around on Facebook or doing that. I didn't even think about that during this movie. I was just watching all the wonderful garish destruction. There are some actually artistic shots in the movie, which you wouldn't expect, like this one with the pitchfork. There's another one where there's a sequence where they're down a dark hall, not that scene, but it comes near the end, that is beautifully shot. Now, the one thing I really got to point out is the ending of this movie, again, 40-year-old movie, but at the end, potentially what would have been a really fantastic kill was cut off. They just end the movie. I'm like, what the hell? I was so mad because what the movie has is those kills. And it just, they didn't have it. So that was a real problem. That was a real problem in the film. So I can't give it an A plus or a letter A plus, but I am going to give it a, if the grading ever shows up, there we go. I am going to give it a solid A minus. I really enjoyed it. There it goes. It was a lot of fun to watch. I think you have to be in the mood. Like I said, if you're like, I want to watch something intelligent tonight, and you know, this is not the movie. This is not the movie. You have to, you really have to be ready for an Italian zombie flick that is not going to make a hell of a lot of sense. But unlike The Forest, you're going to have a great time. You're really going to enjoy it because there's going to be a lot of color and a lot of video. Now, I know, Adam, what do you want to say about the movie?
Yeah, I love the movie. It's just dumb fun. It's, you know, an Italian zombie flick. A lot of people think it's Lucio Fulci, and it's not. One of the zombies has a Boris Karloff Frankenstein mask for a face that's poorly disguised. You know, you have a 26-year-old playing a 10-year-old kid who hates his mom's boyfriend and feels like he should be with his mom, which is just weird.
It's really, that is probably what sets this movie apart, is how weird that is.
And the funniest time I saw this was, I was living in Columbus, Ohio at the time, and the Gateway Film Center showed this. So I'm like, cool, no one's going to be there. I'll go watch in the theater. I've seen it a million times. A family of four walks in, a mom, a dad, and like their two high school, college age sons. I'm like, oh, this is going to be interesting. And just watching their reaction when the kid bites his mom's nipple off.
Oh my God.
In the theater.
Now that's a good time with friends.
Yeah.
A long, quiet car ride home.
Yeah. Like I say, it's fun for the whole family.
Well, literally. And that's the part, Adam, I'm going to say, folks, if you're going to watch this movie, this should, first of all, not be your first horror movie ever. This is for a person that already enjoys the genre and is ready to just have some gory fun. I do think if you go into it and you're thinking, oh, this is a thinking man, you know, elevated horror is so cool, and you go into this thing, you're going to be disappointed. That's not the type of movie it is. But if you're looking for a just fun, balls to the wall, let's kill them all type of film, this is the one.
Yeah, and this was at the prime of the Italian zombie films. Like, you had Zombie, you had the Gates of Hell trilogy, you had We Omega. Like, you just had all these films come out within a few years, and this is one that kind of gets overshadowed by the others, I think.
Well, not in this show. We're giving it a big recommend, and I hope, Tracy and Mike, you get a chance to see it. It's really worth it. And I was watching this, and I'm like, I can't wait to trash Adam's movie. You know, I gotta admit it. I went in there with an agenda. I'm like, I can't wait to find stuff to hate about this movie. And there's stuff to hate, but the movie's good. It's fun to watch. It's entertaining, and people should check it out.
All week, I'm like, Tim's going to give this an F, and I'm going to laugh so hard because I love this movie so much.
Well, and honestly, though, Adam, I could see a lot of people going to this movie and being just, I do not like this movie and hate it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm kind of playing with giving it to Jeffy over on Dead on the Basis.
But totally should.
I the thing is, I need him to be verbal. This might just you know, it's not that type of movie. I think he would enjoy it if I was sitting, no, I don't know. I don't know. I sat next to him for Scream, and that was an entertainment in itself. All right. So it's time when we start pimping things. So let's see. Is the pimping button working? The pimping button is working. And we're going to start with otherworldlyculture.com. You can check it out. Lots of great stuff out there. We are going to have tonight's show out there a little bit later. Just a lot of good entertainment. Check it out and enjoy otherworldlyculture.com. Then we also have, tonight we have Tracy and her website, Tracy Daily On. You can check it out. But I tell everybody, check out her IMDb page and click on it once a day. That's right. Once a day. You know what? Click on it 7 times a day. And that will help get that click count up, and that's important. And then, click. And then, of course, we also have Mike on here. He's with Dragon's Roost, the Dragon's Root, Roost Net. So make sure you get that "the" at the beginning, otherwise you're in the wrong spot, and it's no fun. And there's lots of fun stuff to catch at thedragonsroost.net. And of course, we'll have links in the show notes for this as well. And then we're also promoting the Ohio Fan Fest coming May 13th and 14th. A lot of great guests. In fact, we just put up a new guest announcement the other day that is happening. So that's not on the list here. And she canceled there. We've had some cancellations, as these things always have. But lots of really fun guests from horror, films, wrestling, Saturday morning cartoons. So if you're interested in Saturday morning cartoons, there's stuff with that as well. It's really a great time, and we hope that you can join us at Ohio Fan Fest, just about an hour and a half from Pittsburgh and from Cleveland, about the same amount. It's going to be a great time, May 13th and 14th. I will be out there. Mike Exler will be out there. Rich Del Zotto will be out there for that one. So we're going to be represented.
Represent.
That's right. All right. So we are at that point in the show. Anything that I missed? I see, Mike, you had something to tell people in the chat room, but I was reading my copy. What's going on?
Just in case there's anyone who is, are there any other authors out there? We just opened for submissions for our new anthology. It's going to be combining elements of the Cthulhu mythos and humor. It's at the dragonsroost.biz/submissions.
All right. Fantastic. Now, is that open only to Great Lakes authors?
Or? Nope. No, this is through the dragonsroost.net. It is open worldwide.
Worldwide, which apparently also includes Florida. All right, so thanks everybody for coming out tonight. We hope you have a fun and safe week. And remember to take in lots of horror movies. We have one more show this season, and then we're closed for the summer. And that's so that I can regain my sanity. And then we'll be back for another season around back to school time. So I still have to put that together. Will be approximately every other week, starting around Labor Day. So keep an eye on our calendar. We will keep that up on Twitch. I do want to apologize to some of the folks on the stream. Apparently there was some bad frame rates that were going on out there. I'm going to blame the terrorists, as I always do. But it looks like we are going to be looking for a different streamer. Or we are going to do something with these backgrounds. I suspect that we have a very busy background in all of our visuals. So we might do something there and hope that helps as well. But we are going to continue working on it and making the show as good as we possibly can. All right. So until, and I think the next show is in 2 weeks. We want to thank you. Yeah, Tracy, you're coming back, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Peggy's going to be here.
That is going to be frightening, and I'm already scared. I can never control you two when you're both on the same show, so I am out of luck. All right, so until next time, when you aim at horror, make sure that you are dead on. See you next time.
Tweak it out, Jim.
Culture.